live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time, coming to you live on this Monday, January 13th. 2019. It feels so good to be back in this chair after a weekend of just really lounging around and watching sports all week. Great stuff. Well, for like, 2 days, I should say, not all week. But you get my drift, right? And you know what? I really thought that the ice storm was going to be much worse than it was. I mean, I was expecting like the plague to come through. My goodness. But it wasn't that bad. I really hope you guys we're safe out there. I hope you didn't leave the crib if you didn't have to. All right? And I really hope you guys watched some fantastic sporting, some fantastic sports over the weekend. I will say this, though. I was a little bit disappointed with the NFL playoffs, especially day one on Saturday, watching those first two games. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I really hope that the other two games on Sunday aren't what I saw on Saturday. And they were much more competitive. And there were a few surprises this weekend in the world of the NFL playoffs. I want to dive into those, of course. Got to talk about the NFL playoffs. A lot of different storylines. And then there were four. All right, so we'll dive into that. And then a really surprising outcome as the Michigan State men's basketball team on Sunday afternoon, right after, you know, I finished up at church. I got home. And I started logging a bit of the game, and my goodness, the Spartans were just blown out of the water out at Purdue. And, you know, there are a few takeaways I got to hammer home when it comes to this team. It's the first Big Ten loss for Michigan State, a team that still ranks first in the Big Ten Conference. But there were a few things that when you analyze that game and look at the tape, there weren't many positives for Michigan State. And the negatives that came to fruition, got to put a few of those in perspective. All right, so we'll dive into Michigan State men's basketball later on this hour as well. And, of course, tonight is championship night in the world of college football, folks. That's right. Finally, we will see who is crowned in the world of college football. It feels like we haven't watched college football in forever. I mean, my goodness, it's been a long time. I mean, we're sitting here on January 13th, still awaiting the winner of Clemson and LSU. So tonight at 8 p.m., we'll preview LSU and Clemson. Battle of the Tigers there. Number three versus number one. You know, I've been saying since the start of the playoff, I really don't see anybody beating LSU. LSU really looks incredible, but there are many people that are choosing Clemson to win that game, so we'll dive into that as well. So going to be a fun Monday show, an absolutely jam-packed one, as it usually is. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That's the number to call. Would love to hear from you guys. I want to hear from Spartan fans out there. I mean, what do you make of Michigan State losing the way it did to Purdue? Is this just a blimp on the radar? You knew a loss was eventually coming, and let's move on. Is that your take on that, or are you on the other side of the fence that says, whoa, a blowout of almost 30 points on the road at Purdue? Sure, it's fine when Michigan State plays in the friendly confines of the Breslin Center, but can you win on the road? That was a true test for Michigan State, and they failed that test. Is your panic meter a little higher than that? I want to hear from you guys. Any thoughts on the NFL weekend that was, and more. All right, and who's going to win tonight? Clemson and LSU. I definitely want to hear from you guys on that as well. So you can also weigh in, other than pick up the phone and dialing 517-355-WKAR. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can comment below the live stream there. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Tweet the show at WKAR News. We've got Connor Mathis filling in yet again on this Monday behind the glass. Connor, you're a big NFL guy. Just, you know, from a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being incredibly entertained, how entertained were you when it came to what we saw in the field of 8 this past weekend of the NFL playoffs?
I thought the games were entertaining for the most part, with the exception of the 49ers-Vikings. I think that one was kind of predetermined. I had a feeling that the Vikings weren't going to be able to hang with them, but I thought it was entertaining. I mean, there were a lot of upsets, so I didn't think it was a bad weekend. I thought seeing what Tennessee could do by barely throwing the football was impressive. I thought that, you know, the Chiefs game was just incredible.
Yeah.
Erasing a 24-point deficit in a quarter, essentially. And, you know, even the Packers Seahawks game, again, looked like it was going to be bad early on, but then got interesting towards the end. So I thought it was all right.
Yeah, we saw some comebacks, right? Seattle fell short of its comeback, but then we saw in the Kansas City game against Houston, you know, KC came back. I mean, that thing was a blowout, 24-0, and then KC came back, made it interesting. It was incredibly entertaining there. And then KC turned the tide, and next thing you know, you're looking at a blowout the other way. So pretty incredible stuff. So we'll dive into the NFL playoffs. Thanks, Connor, behind the glass, the engineer of today's current sports. You know what's next, though. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's start with Michigan State men's basketball falling on the road at Purdue. Michigan State came crashing back to a reality after a miserable yesterday afternoon, as the number 8 team in the nation lost to Purdue in decisive fashion. 71-42, your final at Mackey Arena. Tough place to play. The loss was the Spartans' worst since a 29-point loss to Michigan in February of 2017. Senior point guard Cassius Winston played his worst game of the year, shooting just 4-for-13 for 10 points and matching his career high with 9 turnovers, as the Spartans offense never got going. A very surprising result, and now the Spartans will try and shake off that loss as they move on now to play, I believe they're still on the road. Actually, they return home on this Friday, actually. Yeah, that Wisconsin will be coming to East Lansing to play the Spartans. That will be a 7 p.m. tip time this Friday. But all in all, the Spartans are still number one in the Big Ten Conference, despite the loss. But there are a few things we need to address concerning that blowout loss against Purdue. So we'll get to that in just a moment. Also, the Michigan State women's basketball team was in action on Sunday as well, as sophomore guard Nia Clouden scored 20 points as the Michigan State women's basketball team celebrated Alumni Day with a 69-52 win over Wisconsin at the Breslin. The Spartans snapped a 2-game losing streak and improved to 9-7 overall, 2-3 in Big Ten play. Wisconsin now slips to 9-7 as well, and 1-4 in league action. All right, Big Ten road teams are just 5-32 in the Big Ten Men's Basketball Conference. That's crazy, right? Big Ten road teams, 5-32 in conference games. Michigan had a great chance to get an elusive road win yesterday at Minnesota, but dropped a back-and-forth contest, 75-67. And I stated when Michigan State struggled against that same Minnesota team last week, still got the win, I stated that this Minnesota team is going to be a team that can pull off a few upsets as the year rolls along. That's a really good Minnesota team. Michigan had the lead as the clock approached 3 minutes, but Minnesota's 11-0 run ended the Wolverines' chances. Xavier Simpson, he played all 40 minutes, tallying 19 points and 9 assists. Also, Franz Wagner, he scored 17, while John Teske and Eli Brooks each had 9. Daniel Oturu, the talented big man for Minnesota, he put in 30 points for the Golden Gophers. He is a load to handle. A little bit more on Michigan later on this hour as well. All right, the 20th-ranked Michigan State hockey team scored 3 goals in the first period and went on to defeat Minnesota 4-1 on Friday night before a sellout crowd of a little over 6,000 at Munn Ice Arena. Patrick Kortarenko, he had a goal and 2 assists to lead Michigan State, while Mitchell Lewandowski had a goal and an assist. The Gophers got revenge, though, on Michigan State, winning 2-0 at Munn Ice Arena on Saturday night. The Spartans are 11-10-1 on the year. Minnesota sits at 8-10-4. And this was shocking news that came to the forefront on Friday evening after week one of Michigan State's top defensive players announcing he was leaving early for the NFL draft. The Spartans lost their leading receiver as Cody White. He announced on Twitter on Friday that he is foregoing his senior season to enter the NFL draft. This is not good news at all for Spartan fans. I'm going to put this loss in perspective later on this hour as well. This is a big blow. Junior corner Josiah Scott, if you remember, he announced on December 30th that he was leaving for the NFL. That's the defensive player I was talking about. White, a third-year starter, he had 143 receptions for 1,967 yards, 12 TDs in 35 games, and ranked 7th in program history in career receptions and 12th in receiving yards. This is a big blow to this Michigan State offense that has a lot of question marks, including who in the world the starting quarterback is going to be next season. So Cody White is chucking up the deuces. Again, more on that story later on this hour as well. Also, the former Michigan State football running back by the name of Ladarius Jefferson, who is from Muskegon, he is transferred to Western Michigan. The school confirmed that news on Friday. Jefferson will sit out this fall per NCAA transfer rules, and he will have 2 years of eligibility remaining starting in 2021. In 6 games this season, with the Spartans, the 6'1", 223-pound Jefferson, he ran just 19 times for 25 yards and 2 touchdowns. So, Ladarius Jefferson finding a new home there. Also, the Detroit Lions have hired Philadelphia Eagles defensive backs coach Corey Undlin as the team's defensive coordinator. The 48-year-old Undlin has been in the NFL since 04 when he was a defensive assistant with the New England Patriots and worked with the Lions head coach Matt Patricia. So a new D coordinator for the Detroit Lions there, Lions fans. And again, a quick NFL weekend recap as the San Francisco 49ers just brought it to the Minnesota Vikings. That was a score of 27-10. The Tennessee Titans upset the Baltimore Ravens. That was the biggest stunner of the weekend. Many people picking the Ravens to win this year's Super Bowl, but that is now finito. 28-12, the final there. The Kansas City Chiefs, they came back down 24-0 to beat the Houston Texans 51-31. If you liked offense, that was the game for you. And the Green Bay Packers hold on to beat the Seattle Seahawks 28-23. And those are your winners. The AFC Championship will take place on Sunday. Are these both Sunday games, Connor? These are both Sunday games. 3:05 p.m. on CBS. I don't know why did they do that. I don't get that. Put on your mic, Connor.
I don't know.
Why in the world would you put both of these games on Sunday when you have an open slot? There's nothing going on Saturday,
no.
Is there?
No. I don't really get that. I also, 305 and 640, if the AFC Championship game goes into OT, you're pushing that back, that second game back a little bit more. And if it go, even if it doesn't go into OT, even if it goes long, if it's still kind of pretty close there. I don't really understand it either.
I don't get it. But both of them are on Sunday. Are they usually on Sunday? Am I missing something here?
I think they are, but they tend to. I feel like in years past they've spread them out like a 1 p.m. and then a 6 p.m. or something like that.
There's
a little bit more room in case a game goes over. But
okay. All right, CBS and Fox. Well, both of those games taking place on Sunday to decide who heads to Miami for the Super Bowl. 3:05 p.m. will be the AFC Championship game on CBS, and the NFC Championship game will take place on Sunday at 6:40 p.m. on Fox. All right, and tonight is the night we will find out who will win the national championship in the world of college football as number one. LSU will play number three Clemson in the 2020 National Championship game in New Orleans tonight at 8 p.m. to conclude the college football playoff. Clemson is playing in its second straight championship game and fourth in the last five seasons after defeating Ohio State in the final minutes of the 2019 Fiesta Bowl, 29-23. Clemson will face LSU, which advanced to its first title game of the CFP era, in a big victory over Oklahoma in the Peach Bowl, winning by 35. So LSU is currently a 6.5-point favorite. And did you check out this on Friday night? The self-proclaimed greatest woman of all time, the G-Woat, furthered her case that she runs women's boxing by securing her latest piece of boxing history. Flint, Michigan's own Clarissa Shields earned a lopsided unanimous decision win over Ivana Habazin to win the vacant WBC and WBO junior middleweight titles at the Ocean Resort Casino in Atlantic City. And Shields is now the quickest boxer ever. We're talking man or woman to be crowned a three-division world champ. It took Vasily Lomachenko 11 fights to accomplish that feat. Shields did it one fight quicker. So congratulations to Clarissa Shields. That is quite the accomplishment. You know, she's been posting a lot on her Instagram page about that victory. She came out to Beyonce's Who Runs the World Girls, and, you know, she had like a whole get up. A whole choreographed dance. She even had like a queen crown put on her head. It was an awesome event to watch. And to see Clarissa Shields now go from the Olympics to having this kind of success professionally is pretty awesome stuff. So that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. Watch the live stream there and comment below. And you can tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR News. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Folks, first topic of the day, Michigan State men's basketball getting boat raced by Purdue on the road. And, you know, to put in perspective just how gut-wrenching a loss this was for head coach Tom Izzo. Tom Izzo was quoted after yesterday's game saying, quote, probably the worst beating I've taken as a coach. That's a really honest statement, isn't it? You know, because, you know, when you're Tom Izzo, you're a Hall of Fame coach who's been, you know, when you've coached as long as Tom Izzo has, I mean, there have been many, many gut-wrenching losses, right? Maybe he was a prisoner of the moment there and, you know, Michigan State getting blown out on the road the way they did. They got out-toughed in many different areas. But there are some other candidates that you can throw out there. I don't know. Maybe Tom was just being a prisoner of the moment there. You know, I always have flashbacks to, you know, what happened at Little Caesars Arena a couple of years ago when Michigan State went out of the first weekend of the NCAA tournament against a Syracuse team that barely made the tournament.
Shouldn't have been in the tournament.
Should not have even been
Should
in,
not have been in. That was Monmouth's spot.
Yeah, exactly. They got in, and that zone bothered Michigan State the entire game. And we all know about the Jaren Jackson Jr. controversy. Why wasn't he in? Ben Carter was in. What are you doing, Tom Izzo? That was really a bad loss. And what was really a home game for Michigan State, being downtown Detroit. So that was a tough one. Middle Tennessee State, you know, I bring up that one. So maybe Tom was just a prisoner of the moment here, but let's not sugarcoat that point from Tom Izzo. This was a bad loss. You know, Purdue held Michigan State to its two lowest scoring halves of the season and lowest point total in nearly 8 years as it snapped a two-game losing streak with that 71-42 upset. You know, the Spartans actually came into that game as a 4.5-point favorite, averaging 81.3 points per game, 16th in the country. And, of course, this is a team that has a reputation of being physical, being in your face. You are not going to boss us around. But they got bossed around in that game yesterday. You know, I don't know what it was. You know, maybe it was. I really don't. I can't even put a finger on it. You know, when I think about it right now here, I can't sit there and say, okay, this is the reason why Michigan State got absolutely blown out at the hands of Purdue on the road. You know, that's a really hostile environment, and that's why I was so quick, you know, after, you know, watching Michigan State, you know, do what it has done against opponents like Michigan, that blowout victory against Michigan at the Breslin Center, that victory against Minnesota at the Breslin Center, a talented Minnesota team that just beat Michigan on that same day on Sunday. And have the kind of start that it has had to start the Big Ten year, I have been hesitant to say that Michigan State is where it needs to be or Michigan State is going to be this kind of team as the year goes along because I want to see these players on the road. You know, it's great to beat quality teams at home. But when you're at home, it just does something to you emotionally that you cannot duplicate on the road. You don't have the Izzone in a little suitcase on the road with you that you can just unpack out on that hardwood. You're going to have to deal with some adversity. You're going to have to deal with the fans and other venues who don't like you. Purdue does not like Michigan State. They have gone back and forth with different recruits as well. You know, I think one of the big storylines yesterday was, you know, the whole situation with Travion Williams, who Tom Izzo was pegging as a player for his squad. You know, and Travion was a guy who was from Chicago, played high school ball in Detroit. Looked like he may choose Michigan State, but decided to go to Purdue. And need I bring up the whole Caleb Swanigan story and so on and so forth? Julius Marble was a player that Matt Painter wanted at Purdue. So they've battled in recruiting wars, and, you know, Purdue is a team that doesn't like Michigan State. And when you go to Mackey Arena and you have to deal with that student section,
it can be tough, especially for young players. That's going to be the true test for Michigan State. We've been saying it all season. Can you win on the road? And this test right here, Michigan State failed miserably. As I stated in the headliners, Cassius Winston had his worst game of the season. He was 4 of 13, 0 of 5 from three-point land. Just 10 points. And oh yeah, by the way, 9 turnovers. Count them. 9 turnovers. That was one of the biggest things for Michigan State yesterday. The turnovers just killed the Spartans. 18 total turnovers. Cassius had 2. Gabe Brown had 2. Xavier Tillman had 2. Then, coming off the bench, Rocket Watts had 2. Malik Hall had 1. Thomas Kithier had 1. Brock Washington even had 1. I mean, it was just turnover city for Michigan State yesterday. And I've always said this. This has been a worry of mine the whole year. I feel like a broken record every time I talk Michigan State basketball to you guys out there. If you cut off the head, the body is probably going to die. What do I mean by that? Cassius Winston is the head of this team. He makes this team go. As teams start to realize, which it blows my mind how many teams out there don't realize that Cassius is the engine that runs this team and they decide to just leave him single covered. As teams key in more on Cassius Winston, his numbers are going to go down and he is going to have games when he struggles a bit, I believe. When that happens, who do you turn to? Who are you going to call? Who do you turn to? And right now, you're looking at Rocket Watts, who did not play bad yesterday. Rocket Watts, in 21 minutes for the Spartans, had 10 points. I think he was like the lone bright spot for Michigan State. But Rocket, what I'm coming to find is that Rocket is just a, and correct me if I'm wrong, Connor, if you see the same thing, Rocket is just a scorer right now. He is not a facilitating true point guard. Cassius gives you the great balance of being a pass-first point guard while also knowing when to score. He's got that perfect balance. Cassius Winston is the perfect point guard. But if he's not doing either one of those things, when he's struggling from the floor shooting and he's struggling to facilitate the basketball, you know, 5 assists, that's not a great night for Cassius Winston distributing the basketball. And then you couple that with 9 turnovers. Not a great game for Cassius. I'm not confident that Rocket Watts can come off the bench and hold down the fort as your starting point guard because Rocket is not a facilitator. Who's the other guy you look at? Well, Foster Lawyer, who is, well, Foster Lawyer. No knock against him, but Foster Lawyer is not. I'm pretty confident in saying this now, Connor. Foster Lawyer is not going to be a superstar guard in the Big Ten Conference. Is it too early in saying that? I think what we've seen from Foster is there's a ton of room for improvement, but his size is proving to be a big Achilles heel of his. His shooting is inconsistent, something that he did really well in college, in high school, and his ability to facilitate the rock. I don't know. It's just Foster doesn't have that it factor right now. And then you add on the fact that he's still trying to find confidence. And the only way you get confidence is by playing and having success. Success breeds confidence. There was a moment not too long ago when Michigan State was playing teams like Western where Foster seemed to find a little bit of confidence, but it's still a work in progress. I worry so much about Michigan State when Cassius is not Cassius. And the biggest player I want to call out here, because there were only 2 players that scored in double digits for Michigan State. And that was Cassius Winston, who was, again, a horrible 4 of 13 from the floor, 10 points for him, and Rocket Watts, who was much more efficient, 4 of 6 from the floor. The guy who was knocking on the door of maybe scoring in double digits was Xavier Tillman, but he was 4 of 10, 0 of 2 from deep. And, again, I've said this countless times. Michigan State was 2 of 16 from the three-point line. This is not going to be your typical Michigan State team that can light it up at any given moment from behind the arc. Michigan State does not shoot the three ball well this season. It's just a reality that we are all going to just have to face and come to terms with. This is not your Michigan State team of old, where you have a lot of shooters who can get hot at any moment and can keep you in games because they can shoot well from deep. Kenny Goins is gone. All right, Matt McQuaid, Quato is gone. Those guys are gone. Brent Forbes no longer wears a Michigan State jersey. He's out making cheese with the San Antonio Spurs. All right? So they're going to have to find other ways to score here. But the guy I have to call out, and Graham Couch of the Lansing State Journal, you know, he basically took the words right out of my mouth. I was thinking this yesterday while watching that game, but Graham Couch of the LSJ has a column entitled, "On a Forgettable Day, Henry's Struggles Can't Be Missed." What Henry is he talking about? Well, Aaron Henry. Aaron Henry, for me, is that magical key that if he can somehow find a way to score the basketball on a consistent basis, can find some kind of groove, Michigan State can take that next level. Because you don't know what Aaron Henry you are going to get on a given night. And I think more signs point to this side, that side being that Aaron Henry is going to have just a kind of game. Yeah, Aaron Henry was all right. Or he was bad. I haven't come on this show in a while and said, "Whoa, did you see what Aaron Henry did?" I mean, there were times last season, and there were a few times at the beginning of this season where Aaron Henry would make this ridiculous athletic play, whether it was a dunk or some kind of reverse layup to spark some energy for this team, and he would hit the mid-range jumper. But lately, not lately, for some weeks here, Aaron Henry, he's just struggled. I think it's a lot of mental with him right now. 1 of 6 for just 3 points yesterday. He's the magical key. If he continues to play like this, Michigan State is going to struggle, especially on nights when Cassius Winston is keyed in on and teams are gunning for him. So I'm concerned a bit here, Connor. Michigan State, still relative to the rest of the Big Ten Conference for me, is still the elite team. But I think you may have some nights like this. I'm not saying, you know, when you have nights like this, it's going to be 71 to 42. But when Cassius isn't playing well, this team is going to struggle against competition they should be. And I don't want to take anything away from Purdue. Connor, I think the Purdue is a really good team. 10-7, 3-3 in conference play right now. Purdue has some players. They have size. They've always had size, right? They kill you with that size. I mean, you know, you look at yesterday, and guys like Harms, you know, Harms is huge. Travion Williams, I mentioned him. He was great yesterday afternoon. 7 of 14, 16 points. And then you got, you know, forwards like, you know, Wheeler. And then you have Sasha Stefanovic, who was great. He was gritty. He was tough yesterday. I mean, he looked like he should be wearing a Michigan State jersey, not a Purdue jersey. He reminded me some of those gritty guards of Michigan State's past. And then also coming off the bench, and this dude looks like he's 35, 40 years old, but Evan Bordeaux. Did you see him yesterday? He's got, like, missing hair and everything going on. You know, Rogaine, you know, all that stuff. Evan Bordeaux looks like he's 40 years old out there, and he was giving Michigan State the business because he's one of those guards that can hit the mid-range jumper on the block, take you down low. He's a good facilitator as well, and he's big. He's 6'8". That's a lot of size that Michigan State had to deal with yesterday. What say you about yesterday's performance for Michigan State?
It was a bad performance for sure, but I'm not hitting the panic button, and for a couple reasons, I'm not really overly worried. Your point on Aaron Henry, I think his biggest thing is he's very, looking at his stats for the year, he goes through these streaks. You know, the beginning of the season, he goes 9-16, 9-8. 9-18, and then, you know, he has a little bit of a rough patch, and then he goes, you know, 12-10, 3-12, 15-10. I mean, it's just with him, I think it's just, you know, finding a rhythm, and it is what it is at this point. You're gonna have three game spans where he's not gonna be, you know, your number two guy, your most efficient guy, but there are also going to be spans where he's really going to do well. So I think like a lot of things in basketball, it's about streaks. I'm not overly concerned about Michigan State on the road because, even again, small sample size, they're still the best road team in the Big Ten right now. The next closest is Wisconsin. Wisconsin's 3-2, but if you look at the rest of the Big Ten, there's only, let's see, two teams that have lost more than one home game. I mean, it's a tough conference to play at home for sure. So I'm not overly worried about them dropping it to Purdue of all teams. The last 5-6 years, we've known Purdue is going to play Michigan State close, and yeah, they're going to get one over on them every so often. So I'm not overly concerned about that. And the thing with Cassius Winston being, yeah, if teams stop him, it's a big problem. But how many times have we seen teams stop both of Cassius Winston's big strengths? Like you said, his facilitating, his scoring. Usually teams can stop one or the other. They don't stop both. So it's like, for me, this game was like a combination of a couple things going wrong for Michigan State. And I don't think it's really like an indictment on the team as a whole. Yeah, there's 3-point struggles, but also, you know, Xavier Tillman didn't have the best game. And when Cassius Winston isn't scoring, he's got to be your go-to option for scoring. And for me, I'm not really panicking so much about this. For me, I kind of expected a letdown loss to come at some point because we tend to see this with Michigan State in January and February. They're riding hot. They have a couple good games, and then they have a letdown loss. I feel like it's just part of the formula. It happens.
We knew it was coming, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't, in this conference, you know, people were legitimately, when I'm out and about, you know, covering different things, people come up to me and ask me, you know, we talk about Michigan State sports, of course, and people were coming up to me asking, Al, this team could go undefeated in the Big Ten, right? I'm like, are you crazy? No, a loss is going to come. This team, this conference just cannibalizes itself,
yeah,
right? Everybody beats up on each other. We've been saying that for a while now.
And the thing for me is, I kind of saw the writing on the wall with the Minnesota game. They struggled early in that game.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, if there's any team to lose to, it's Purdue. If this had been, you know, a couple weeks from now, and this was a loss to Northwestern at Northwestern, I would then be concerned these things happen.
Right.
But it happened to Purdue, which I feel like we all, over the last couple of years, we know they're going to play Michigan State tough. We know this is coming. So I'm kind of happy that it happened against Purdue as opposed to, you know, it's not like they went and they lost to some bum in the Big Ten. They lost to one of the, you know, the upper half of the conference. So for me, I kind of saw the writing on the wall. I was disappointed, obviously, that they got smacked 71-42, but I'm not overly stressed out about one game where everything broke for Purdue.
Well, I tell you what, and this is the only aspect of the conversation that I may be a bit worried when it comes to Michigan State and a performance like this. It's come NCAA tourney time. Only time. A game like this can happen, kind of.
Yeah.
And we've seen it happen in the past for Michigan State where they just don't have it, where a team does key in on Cassius and you have to go somewhere else. I am worried. I am legit worried about Aaron Henry right now. I don't know what's going on with the young man. He is uber talented, but it's been a long time since we have been praising him for an all-around solid performance. I am worried a bit there because I think there are going to be nights where you need him to turn back the clock just a little bit here. It's not too long ago when Aaron Henry was a guy who just stepped right in. I mean, I can look at last season when Josh Langford went out with that foot injury. Aaron Henry was the guy that really stepped in and was able to shoulder down and hold down the fort of a lot of that scoring that was absent due to Langford being injured. So,
yeah, I'm not too worried about that. From just looking at his stats, he looks like he's a player that he's fairly streaky. It is what it is. And just looking at the stats, it seems to be about every three games he'll have three games where it's nice, good amount of points, good amount of rebounds, that kind of stuff, and then he'll have games where he's just another player. I think, you know, kind of looking at the schedule up ahead, you have a Northwestern team that's a little bit more down. You have
Oh my gosh, that Northwestern team is horrible.
You have teams like Indiana. You have these other teams that you can kind of tune these things up with. So as long as Aaron Henry gets on one of these runs, you know, at the right time, I think they'll be fine. And I think as long as Xavier Tillman and some of the other bigs, and as long as they're going, I mean, I think Henry's a good complement to that, but I don't think he's a absolute necessity to have.
I would argue differently. I think you need him to be better. You have to have him to be better. If you want to go deep in the tournament,
what do you mean?
To win the Big Ten, you can win the Big Ten without Aaron Henry, without a doubt. But come tournament time, you need him to click. I just want a good 10 to 12 points from him.
Okay, that's what I was going
to
ask. What are you looking for from him?
No.
Because
Give me double-digit scoring.
I would agree with that. If he is your third scorer, then you're golden. But for some of the people out there who want him to be, you know, Cassius Winston to be the point guard, and for him to be the pseudo LeBron of the team, that's not going to happen.
No, I can't have him going 3 of 12.
Okay,
though,
yeah, that's reasonable.
For 6 points. That's 7 reasonable. Points. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Michigan State, again, will play host to Wisconsin this Friday. Then they hit the road again for a two-game road streak against Indiana and then Minnesota. That's before coming home on the 29th to close out the month against Northwestern. All right, folks, let's hit our first break. When we come back, I want to dive into some NFL briefly here. And I'll give you my takeaways on the weekend that was in the NFL playoffs. And then there were four. We know what the divisional championships look like. Who's now the Super Bowl favorite after Baltimore had that kind of performance against Tennessee? That and more. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Just wrapped up a conversation centered on the Michigan State men's basketball team falling hard at Purdue yesterday and what it means for the year. I want to transition now to the NFL playoffs. It was an interesting weekend in the NFL playoffs, as we now know what the AFC Championship and NFC Championship looks like, as the 49ers topped the Minnesota Vikings. The Tennessee Titans beat the Ravens. That was a huge shocker there. The Chiefs come back down 24-0 to beat the Texans. And then the Packers in the final game last night, they hold on against the Seattle Seahawks. So the Packers, Chiefs, Titans, 49ers. Those are your four teams left. And a few takeaways here, Connor. I'm pretty sure you have a lot to touch on here, as we now know what the final four looks like. But first off, you know, my goodness, man, that first game, the Vikings falling to the San Francisco 49ers, you know, that 49ers pass rush is real. I mean, it was really a nightmare scenario for Kirk Cousins and the Vikings when Arik Armstead, the least terrifying of San Francisco's front four, he made Brian O'Neill look like a fool repeatedly throughout that game. And the constant pressure that Kirk Cousins had to deal with, it absolutely took away any kind of run game that Minnesota had in store. Stephon Diggs was, you know, looking at what happened in that first drive when the 49ers had that first drive, they go all the way down the field, score a touchdown. They look so efficient. But then when I saw Minnesota respond, and I believe it was Stephon Diggs who had that touchdown catch, I'm like, okay, here we go. This is going to be a back-and-forth battle then. But that didn't happen. And as we've said with Kirk Cousins, if he does not have a run game, I mean, Dalvin Cook was non-existent in that game. If there is no run game for Kirk Cousins and it all falls on his arm and you put in a pass rush like the 49ers, the writing was on the wall. That San Fran offense was so good, so efficient. They made it look easy all day. That was an easy game to just kind of look at and dissect there. The Tennessee Titans upsetting the Baltimore Ravens, nobody saw that coming. And what I saw defensively from the Titans was very, very good defense. And a great game plan. A great game plan. You know, you got to give a lot of credit to Mike Vrabel and his coaching staff. What I saw a lot to try and slow down Lamar Jackson, who has been tearing it up all season, they always had a QB spy on him. That was one. They did a great job of intermixing, falling back in coverage and blitzing him from time to time. They made sure he was not able to turn the edge on anybody at any given play. I think they played a lot of contain with Lamar Jackson in that game. And also, when it came to the secondary, Connor, what they did was they took away any throws that were in the middle of the field. They played the middle of the field, which Jackson loves to throw to, and they made Lamar Jackson throw to the sideline, which he's not 100% comfortable in doing. And he was inaccurate when he tried to throw to the sideline. So it was great. It frustrated Jackson all day long. They sent a lot of different looks his way. They blitzed him here and there, and they always had a QB sneak, a QB spy, sitting there watching his every move, and it worked to perfection. It worked to perfection. So I think a lot of people around the league are going to be looking at that Tennessee Titans and Baltimore Ravens tape and trying to duplicate that come next season. When it came to the Kansas City Chiefs, I mean, they were down 24-0. I thought that game was done. I was scheduling, you know, early plans to go do something else with my afternoon because that game was so embarrassing to start. I couldn't believe what I was watching. I'm sitting there saying, oh, my goodness, another blowout. Please, one of these games be competitive. Then all of a sudden, Patrick Mahomes and that offense, they said take it play by play. And when that second quarter began, Patrick Mahomes and that offense was brilliant. And that Kansas City Chiefs offense going against that Houston Texans defense, they couldn't do anything. And the big mismatch the entire game was Travis Kelce going against that.
can we
that
talk
horrible
about,
Houston
can we
defense.
Talk about that for a minute? Why yeah. the heck would you say double team Tyreek Hill? I get he's a great receiver, but why wouldn't you double team Kelce? I mean,
well, you know, they tried.
They tried after getting burned three times.
They did. And it didn't work.
Connor. It was too little too late.
It was. It still didn't work. Even when they tried to double team Travis Kelce, they like bumped him.
Yeah.
And then two guys would move away from him.
That's
and
not
he would
coverage.
Find, it's not coverage at all. And then how about the play, though? You know, where I don't know which touchdown pass it was because it all becomes like a haze after a while when looking at the comeback and the amount of points. The Chiefs offense put up 51 points. It all becomes a haze as to try and put all of those scores in order. But when Patrick Mahomes found Kelce for that one touchdown where he rose to the left, I thought he was past the line of scrimmage. So I thought it was coming
like
back.
Pinky toes behind
he dragged
the line.
His foot.
Yeah.
I've never seen that. I've never seen a quarterback do that. Drag his foot. It looked like he did it intentionally. Or maybe it was he was just in the moment and wanted to, and it just happened that way.
He's unreal.
I mean, I've never seen a quarterback drag his foot to make sure that at least one part of his body is behind the line of scrimmage to make that throw legal.
Mm-hmm.
He's unbelievable.
He's insane.
Insane.
And from the Texans standpoint, can we start the fire Bill O'Brien campaign?
Yeah.
Because he's just Marvin Lewis with a single playoff win.
Right.
He can't do it in the playoffs. He cannot. I don't understand going for it on 4th and 7 on your 31 as the Chiefs are getting momentum, which also shout out to the Chiefs defense for, you know, underappreciated. Yeah, it's the weakest point of the team, but kind of like what I said about them last year. Man, when they just needed that one, they just need one stop. They just need one or two little things to go right, and they get the ball back to Patrick Mahomes. They did that. They did the special teams stopping him on 4th and 7. But what was that play call? Why would you do that? You're up by 20. You're up by 24-7 at that point. Punt the ball. Yeah. They fumbled it twice on returns. What are you doing?
Exactly.
And then you go into full panic mode when you're still up by like 10. I mean, it was the second quarter. That loss to me is solely on Bill O'Brien. And also that stupid game plan, like double teaming Tyreek Hill. Okay, you're going to leave the middle of the field wide open to a offensive lineman sized receiver. Okay, that seems like it'll work out well for you.
Yeah, O'Brien is one of those guys that you look at, and he's been finding ways to win this season. A lot of that has to be falls on the magic of Deshaun Watson. I mean, Deshaun Watson has saved Bill's tail many times this season. Really, the only bright spot for me, and I took note of this yesterday, Connor, was on 3rd and short on the opening drive. The Chiefs secondary, they bid hard on the bubble screen. They left Kenny Stills, if you remember, open for a walk-in touchdown. That was some good self-scouting by Bill O'Brien. That was a great call by his staff. And I'm sitting there saying, whoa, Bill O'Brien, my perception of Bill O'Brien in that moment was, wow, this dude has found something this season. That changed, that went from there to, oh my goodness, there we go, Bill O'Brien being Bill O'Brien.
And here's the thing, too.
Really quickly.
Here's the underrated part. He's traded all of his picks.
Right.
They're
exactly.
not going to be able to pick for 2 years. So he's hampered them on, yeah, we can win with this roster, which, yeah, maybe if you kept your foot on the gas. You played smart. You didn't act like when you're up 24-7, you don't act like you're down or you need a conversion on your 31. Just being smart situationally.
Mm-hmm.
That entire team was panicked by the second quarter.
Yeah,
they lost that game in the second quarter.
I agree. Second quarter on, they were absolutely dominated. In the final game of that slate, Connor, Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers beating the Seattle Seahawks. They had that one looked like it was going to be a blowout as well. But Russell Wilson and his brilliance, what he's done with that offense throughout this year has been pretty remarkable. But he turned it on in that second half, and the Seahawks came all the way back. But Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, they had just enough. That's a Packers team, Connor, that is not equipped to blow teams out.
No.
Even teams with bad defenses. That's just how this Packers offense is. And what should have been a comfortable blowout victory for Green Bay in Wisconsin turned out to be a nail-biter, needing a 3rd and long connection from the arm of Aaron Rodgers to Devontae Adams to seal the deal on Green Bay's final drive, desperately avoiding giving Russell Wilson the ball in crunch time one last time. That was classic Aaron Rodgers doing what he does. But this Packers team, they're out in the next game. I don't see them.
I don't know about
that.
Here's the only reason why I'm skeptical about that. The 49ers defense has been allowing a lot of points. If you just ignoring the Vikings game, because that's a different beast entirely.
Yeah.
But they've been giving up a lot of points towards the back end of games.
They have.
And my concern with the 49ers, which I said a couple weeks ago, I'm concerned that coming down to crunch time, if the game is either tied or it's down 3 or it's a Jimmy Garoppolo needs to close the game, I am concerned that Garoppolo doesn't close that game. If it comes down to that.
I don't think it's going to be close.
San Francisco
and Green Bay, I don't think that game is going to be close. It's in California, I believe. It's in San Francisco. A great environment to play a game. Jimmy G and that offense is so good. The defense is solid. You saw what they did against the Minnesota Vikings, and that Vikings offense had been rolling prior to, you know, what we saw against San Francisco. I don't think that's going to be close. I think it's going to be a double-digit victory for San Francisco. So we'll see. I'm hoping it's more competitive.
I can see Green Bay hanging around.
All right. Let's hit our final break, though. When we come back, we'll have weekend winners for you on this Monday edition of Current Sports. We'll put a bow on the weekend that was in sports. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Connor, we just have a few minutes left here. You know, what I didn't ask you before we hit that final break was who is now your Super Bowl favorite? Because I'm leaning towards the San Francisco 49ers right now. However, I really like Mike Vrabel and those Tennessee Titans as well. I mean, what they now it's that's easy, right? To sit here and say that after what we saw the Titans do on Saturday evening against Lamar Jackson and that Baltimore team, a Baltimore team that everybody picked to go all the way. I mean, we had Rick Gosselin, MSU alum and, you know, Hall of Fame pro football writer here on the show on Friday's Current Sports live in studio, and Rick Gosselin is sitting there saying, I don't see how anybody beats Baltimore. So Titans, naturally, many people may be picking them as their sexy pick to go all the way now. But for me, I still, what I saw and what I have been seeing with the 49ers right now, they are in an absolute zone, and it's going to be really tough to get them out.
I think it's going to be the Chiefs. I think everything is breaking for Andy Reid, finally. Everything's kind of falling into place. Even with the Titans kind of rolling, I think, you know, the Titans take up, like, you know, full drives, like a full, almost full quarters to score at some points. Mm-hmm. And the Chiefs can kind of cut you up in 3-4 plays. So yeah. I think even though the Titans, I think, can keep pace with the Chiefs for maybe a quarter or two, I think ultimately it comes down to Mahomes is going to light them up. And then I'm not concerned if Mahomes faces either Green Bay or San Francisco, I think he wins that one.
Yeah.
I just don't see.
Well, they can't start the game they did yesterday.
I don't
man.
Know.
They played with fire.
After seeing that, I don't know if there's any defense left on earth that can stop Patrick Mahomes if he gets going.
Well, they played with fire yesterday. They, of course, didn't get burned. I mean, 51 points despite being down 24-0. Incredible. They had six straight scoring drives, in which that hasn't been duplicated since 07 with the Packers. So, all right, folks, happy Monday to you all. We'll see you back here Tuesday. As always, take care. And be easy, people.